Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Good afternoon. It's different, Mike, when you say good afternoon instead of good morning. But
you told me you were going to do that, and I honestly didn't believe you, man.
Yeah,
I really didn't.
I didn't leave it very long. Might have had a cocktail or two last night, so it kind of struggled. The voice struggled, but
I hope everybody did.
I am Bo Morgan, Squid Billy, or another name you've probably called me on Twitter or social media. He is Mike Johnson, All-American, captain, national champion, and former Atlanta Falcon. Also, back then it was a day two pick, right?
Or day two pick, yeah.
Yeah.
It still would have been today. Yeah.
Yeah. Today's day three.
Don't act like I was drafted in the 80s when they did it on like Sunday.
You weren't like round 12?
No.
When they had that's what they had in the 80s. They had like 12 rounds.
I'm sure they in hindsight, Thomas probably wishes I was. But
no,
that's not
man.
True.
Come on.
I was number 98 overall, end of the third round, last pick on Friday night. So you guys that stayed up last night and made it to, I don't know, what was it, 11 o'clock when that was over? That was me. And it was like, you know what's funny? I'm watching the TV broadcast of when I got drafted, and it was almost like, I think it was Chris Berman at the time. It was almost like he's like, I can't wait to get out of here. All right, it looks like Mike Johnson's going to the Falcons. Let's go.
All right, that's a wrap. We're out of here.
That's a wrap.
No, I talked to Thomas the other day. He was in here, and I said, hey, so how you doing? He goes, good. He goes, tell Mike he's still my second favorite draft pick ever.
Who did I beat out, Matt Ryan or Julio Jones?
He said he said that you were behind Peter Kahn's and ahead of Julio.
Safe.
So I was kind of shocked.
Good, yeah, I'm not shocked by that either.
I kid. Thomas loves you. Know
somewhere
that.
In there. I love Thomas.
If you're not familiar with us, I'm not sure where the hell you've been. If you're not, but we are 2/3 of the morning shift, 6 to 9 every Monday through Friday. Mike also does Falcons Radio Network. I am the big wig of Falcons Radio Network.
As do you, I was going to say.
Executive producer. And, look, we're here to take you through the next, 4 hours? We got E. Slaughter, going to call him Easy E today for the rest of the day, behind the board working with us. And we're ready to go. We're ready to break down the next few rounds. And we've got to start, though, Mike, with what happened last night.
Yeah.
And I don't really care about what happened for anyone at this moment other than the Falcons. And I'm sitting there getting dinner at the clubhouse, got a transfusion in my hand. I'm getting drilled by everyone that wants to come up about Michael Penix's pick, which we'll break down later if you haven't heard our thoughts. And I'm trying to do justice to the pick and the player, which are two different takes from me, and I think a lot of people have two different takes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's safe to say, and I think that that's an important kind of footnote when you start talking about Michael Penix, or really any draft pick.
True.
It's not about the player most of the time. It's the value and the fit and the scheme and the location and everything else going on with the needs for your football team.
And you can kind of start with the first pick of the second round for the Falcons with the same type of conversation, because I'm sitting there, and we've got a couple of picks in, and all of a sudden I go, somebody goes, wait, I said, shut up. What? They're what? Why are you being real? Shut up. Pick! Pick! The Falcons made a trade. They're about to pick. And then I sit there for another 3 minutes. And this was last night. And the Falcons traded up from 43 to 35 to get a defensive lineman. They traded the 35th and 186th overall picks. That's what they got from the Cardinals. And it changed for 43 and 79. So today the Falcons will pick at 186 and 187 in the sixth round. But they traded 43-79, which was their second, and the third round pick they got for the Calvin Ridley trade from Jacksonville for defensive lineman Duke Oro-Ro-Ro.
Don't hurt yourself.
No, that's I wasn't doing.
Don't hurt yourself.
Duke Oro-Ro-Ro.
I think there's a lot of upside. We'll continue to get into him.
Every draft here. Oh, I think there's a lot of upside.
No. That there is intent behind those words. I think you have a few different prospects, and it's all about where they're drafted and where the value is. I think you have guys with a lot of upside that go in the second round. I think you have guys that are locked in day one starters in the second round, and I think you have, let's call them solid NFL players in the second round. I think the upside goes in the middle. I think there's a lot of upside. I think there's a lot of work to be had. This is a guy who did not play until his junior year of high school. Was a basketball star. Honestly, his story kind of reminded me of old Florida Gator Carlos Dunlap. Doesn't have quite the length that Carlos Dunlap had, but Carlos Dunlap was a basketball player. And then he shows up in Florida's football team, makes a lot of noise, has a long NFL career, and does a lot of good things. I think everybody that watches this pick for Duke Oro-Ro-Ro, is kind of hoping for that. And I've been going all morning back and trying to watch Rams film from last year. And if there's anybody out there that is familiar with the Rams defense from last year, they had a gentleman by the name of Jonah Williams who played sort of that four technique in their three down set and then could slide in when they kind of got out leverage, could slide into the three technique, had good length, had good explosion. I think Jonah Williams' hands are a little bit better at this point than Ruka Roro, but I think that's what they're going to ask him to do is that four technique position where he's on the inside shoulder of the offensive tackle, but can also slide down and kind of tilt into the three and play on the guard when he needs to.
Yeah, I mean, if you read anything up on him and some of the guys that I appreciate their actual player analysis and not these rankings that we get caught up in, is that he is anywhere from a 3 to a freaking 9. I mean, I think he's only 6'4", 295. I say only at 5'8", 160. I guess I'm qualified to say only 6'4", 295. But my point is he's not David Onyemata as far as the weight. But
no.
He is very good against the run. In fact, he's very quick laterally, which makes him hard for guys to get to in the run. Now, he doesn't win as cleanly on his pass rushing as I think he would like. That's why he's not in the first round. But this guy was rated as high as fourth on some people's boards as far as defensive tackles go. And, you know, he's literally, you want to know the names ahead of him in defensive tackle?
Hit me with it.
Byron Murphy, who some thought might have been the best defensive player in the draft. Not defensive tackle, but defensive player in the draft. Johnny Newton, who was only the Big Ten.
I wasn't far off from that, I'll tell you that. I was not far off.
Yeah, who was only the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year and was projected first round. And then Chris Jenkins from Michigan, who is a very good player in his own right. And then it was Duke. So Duke was ahead of Braden Fisk, who was more of a household name. Devondre Sweat.
What list are you looking at? I'm curious. Is this Brugler?
It's Brugler.
Okay.
That's my draft. You know how Paul?
He's good.
You know how Phil Steele is your college football Bible?
Sure.
That magazine.
I think everybody has their mock guy or their college analyst or everybody has that one guy that pays attention to more than others.
The Beast, the draft guy by Brugler, is my NFL draft Bible. I look at other stuff, but he's good. Look, he does the most extensive breakdown. And when we talk about these, I think you and I have talked about this. I don't look at overall ranking of a player. I think that it goes back to Terry Fontenot's cut that he said the other day in his press conference pre-draft, Mike, where he said, there's 32 different boards, and we're going to take the best players available for us.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean they're drafting for need. But the big story, I do think, that came out of this first pick was why they traded up. I go and look at Terry's comments and also go look at the position. They clearly thought that there was about to be a run on defensive tackles, which, by the way, ding.
Ding.
There was. They actually started that run. And so they thought that's the best player available for their scheme and for what they want to do and the things that he can do.
Well, I think it was important for me to get on here and differentiate from what I've seen, because the text messages and the, you know, the X messages, I still can't call it X. It's Twitter.
Twitter messages. About I was X. Getting,
where a lot of people wondering, hey, is this Kobe Turner? It's not Kobe Turner for me. It's Jonah Williams in that defense last year. Kobe Turner for me is the David Onyemata. He's, you know, Kobe Turner, I think 6'2", 285. I mean, fits directly into that kind of shade one technique role where he's going to fill the A gaps. I mean, that was Kobe Turner. He just happened to be very good at it from the interior. I think when you slide out one role, and again, man, this is one of the things you and I have had a chance to talk about on the morning shift, but for anybody listening to us for the first time, I get so perturbed when people will say, well, you know, you're shifting to the 3-4 from the 4-3 or the, first of all, you're going to be a nickel 80% of the time. And probably 100% of the time when you get to training camp against what Zach Robinson is going to do, right? So I am all about, is this guy two-gapping or is he penetrating? The interior guys in this defense tend to be more penetrators, and the four techniques tend to be more two-gappers. And by two-gappers, I mean you got both your hands on, you're not ripping inside. I do think he's going to have to work on his hands, talking about Duke Aroro, because I look at Jonah Williams, and he was very good with his hands last year in that role. I think he's moved on to, I want to say, Minnesota. So I think that'll be curious to see what pops out. But there is a small transition. It's not, you're not remaking the defense. Every defense in the NFL is multiple these days. They're all playing in nickel. They're all playing in dime. The Falcons even played with three safety sets last year, right, when DeMarco Hillam started coming on the scene. And you have to do that a lot of times against quarterbacks that can make you lose games with their legs. You saw us pivot to that because that happened to the Falcons multiple times. So I think it's very important to kind of differentiate where I think these guys will play. Now, I don't know. Raheem Morris could come out and say, oh, we think he can be a good nose guard. And I'd be like, well, that there goes that, right? But I think what it is going to be Jonah Williams lined up in that kind of head-up four technique, you know, to the strength a lot of times in this defense, and he can kind of play outside the tackle or inside the tackle.
Let me ask you this, though, because this is a guy that literally played from nose out. Not even three, but he actually played some nose in college. And he's at 6'4", 295. He's essentially 6'4", 300 pounds, which is still a big...
It's a big dude.
Big dude. Do you think that they could... Because the whole 3-4-4-3 thing is, like, I agree with everything you said. I also want to know what you saw last year, thinking that we didn't run a hybrid 3-4-4-3 defense.
We absolutely ran it very, very few times. And I would argue that this is – it's all about where the balance is in the defense, right? If you're going to put – if you're going to line up with four tight ends on the left side, nobody – on nobody is going to be in a three-down defensive front and have a head-up zero and two head-up fours. Nobody.
But
you can't. You're outflanked. So yeah. That's when you shuffle over. You shuffle down that four technique into a three, and you walk up that outside linebacker. I mean, that's just how you play defense. I think you saw a lot of four down sets. I think you'll probably see, in my opinion, maybe 5% less four down sets this year in terms of what you're going to be asked to do. And that's off very, you know, little film work, watching what I know about Raheem Morris, what I know about Jimmy Lake, and watching the Rams last year and understanding what they were trying to get done. A lot of nickel. A lot of man coverage for the nickel, and almost a 3-3 type of alignment with five guys walked up in the line of scrimmage and a middle linebacker. So we'll see how they come out of that.
So let me ask you this then. Third and six, you're in a clear passing situation, the offense is. You're in a pass situation. I mean, you're in a rush defense situation where you're...
Right,
you're
obvious
you're,
passing down.
Yeah, you're going to come at them. I'm going to... What if I told you that I could line up Grady Jarrett.
Are you doing your 30 for 30?
Yeah. I could line up Grady Jarrett at the three. I've got Duke Aroro at the nose. We haven't even gotten to a name that we're about to get to.
Yeah.
But then I say Zach Harrison, the other guy that's hand in the dirt, and then Braylon Trice is lined up coming off the edge with his hand up, standing up.
No.
Because that's...
No, I'm not with you.
You're not in for like a Falcons wannabe...
Take Zach Harrison out.
Okay.
Keep Duke Aroro in, but at that spot, and give me your Arnold Ebiketie.
So you would put Grady maybe at the nose?
I'd put Grady at the more interior spot. I'd put Aroro at like the 4-eye.
Or you just leave the nose uncovered and just have him over the guards?
And I think your edge guys will be... Who we're talking about next when we get back. after the break. That is the Falcons' third round draft pick. I got a very, very, very specific comparable from the Rams defense last year. I'll tell you his height, weight, and how many sacks he got. That's in the Rams defense last year. We'll come back. It's the Mike and Bo NFL Draft Special here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 12:22. The fourth round of the draft is obviously kicked off. Pick 104 to the Arizona Cardinals. Da'Drion Taylor Demerson, the safety from Texas Tech. Falcons are, how far away are we, Bo? How many picks? Seven picks away? Can't be long. We're getting there.
Let's see. We are we're closer than that. We're like five picks away because the Chargers are now on the clock. The Chargers at five, then we got the Titans at six, the Giants at seven. Vikings finally got ahead of us in the draft at eight, and then we will be ninth.
Well, look, coming up at the end of this segment, let's give it about 5 minutes from now. We're going to talk about kind of our expectations for that pick. Also, throughout the show today, you'll hear continued reaction from Michael Penix. The phone lines are wide open as well, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Let's say you've been working all week. You had to work Thursday. You had to work Friday. Haven't had a chance to call in and sound off about the Michael Penix pick or anything that happened last night.
Yeah, come on. Let's talk.
I will say this, and I want to move on. I want to make sure we get to Braylon Trice because he needs his due. But it is interesting to me that you always want your team to be the headliner on the national stuff. We always talk about how nationally it seems like the Atlanta Falcons always seem to take a back seat. Like you feel like the stepchild, right, of the NFL in a lot of ways. I mean, you can tell by the way people have talked about us since the Lamar Jackson thing, the way the reaction was a number of times to things that have happened with the Atlanta Falcons. I love when they're the headline, but I cannot tell you how many sports shows and how many national websites that you have pulled up in the last 24 hours, and the Atlanta Falcons and Michael Penix, and the shock and the reaction continues to be the biggest story in sports. And I was listening to Andy and Randy yesterday, and Andy says, I had every single person I know, he's obviously a Washington grad, every single person I know has called me or texted me at that point and going, what's going on? And I think I speak for Andy and everybody else at this station and probably anybody else that got a text message from somebody that's not a Falcons fan. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't have any behind the scenes knowledge, man. Well, there is no storyline that makes sense to me. It only makes sense in the head of Terry Fontenot or Raheem Morris. And I guess for us right now as fans, that's going to have to be good enough.
Can I tell you what's not going on? Can I tell you what's not going on? This has nothing to do with Kirk Cousins.
Quarterback controversy?
This has nothing to do with Kirk Cousins. Now they've created one on their own.
I was going to say, not yet, but.
They've created, just wait till Kirk Cousins has a one touchdown, three interception game and you lose by three. And then all that'll start up. And don't tell me it won't, because I've been around long enough to know.
I hope it doesn't. Surely nobody out there thinks that you're gonna have a quarterback controversy when your starter's making $45 million.
Dude, I used to have people tell me, the problem with Falcons is they need to bring in somebody to push Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not happening, dude.
Yeah. So that is a real thought process out there. But anyways, let me tell you what's not happening. This pick was not made because of they're afraid Kirk Cousins is not going to be ready for the season. For one, that doesn't even make any sense. If anything, you'd go sign a high price backup, like a Jacoby Brissett, you know, type player. A Josh Dobbs type player that's going to give you three or four games of great play and then fall off the cliff, and then Kirk Cousins could come in and say, "Well, that's not it." The other thing that's not happening is the Falcons think that they're going to lose a first or multiples next year. That's not it either. This has nothing to do with this tampering thing. Nothing. This is nothing more than two things.
Tell us what they are.
To me, they fell in love with Michael Penix Jr., just like they fell in love with Bijan Robinson when they visited him in Texas last year. Just like they fell in love with Kyle Pitts. Yeah, they went out there and saw him and visited with him. And just like they fell in love with Drake London. That's the regime's first-round draft picks. And A, capital N, capital D. It's an overreaction to the way the Matt Ryan, Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ridder thing played out. because
I'm gonna use a word similar, but can I change overreaction to overcorrection?
Perfect, because you know what? I think they're the same freaking thing in this instance, because this is nothing more than a business throwing a Kentucky Derby is next weekend, I think, right?
It's quickly coming up quickly.
So last year, Mike Johnson and his wife threw a 2023 Kentucky Derby party, right? And you know what, Mike? You guys didn't have enough cups. You didn't have enough cups. You didn't have enough ice for the party.
You could have just said we didn't have enough beer because
BYOB ain't no same person our age having a I'm going to supply all your alcohol for a group of friends these days. Not my friends, anyways. Actually, I do have one that does that, but I'm just saying you can run out quickly. But didn't have enough cups, and people were like, well, what am I supposed to do, drink out of the freaking bottle? You know, I didn't bring my Yeti with me. Why would I? You said, just bring my booze and everything else will be covered. And so the 2024 edition of the Johnson's Derby Party, you bought 3,000 cups.
We ordered 10,000 cups.
And then you literally rented an ice machine. And so you've got way too many cups. You're going to have cups for the next four Kentucky Derby parties.
We're going to be throwing a party the next weekend. As a matter of fact, we probably will do a Cinco de Mayo party just to cover up for the amount of cups. So I completely
agree. You overreacted to what happened last year, and it caused you to overcorrect. I think you can use both words.
All right. Let's talk about Braylon Trice. You get the edge rusher in the third round out of the University of Washington. 6'4", 245. Position ranks kind of all over the place. When I watched Braylon Trice's film, and this is coming on the heels of Rook Arororo.
Say that one more time.
Arororo. I sound like I'm doing a Scooby-Doo impersonation.
You say his name better than you say Michael Penix's name.
I know.
Or at one point.
Like I said, I feel like I'm doing a Scooby-Doo impersonation. It's not disrespect to him. It just I'm not very good at speaking
it's,
names.
It's
sometimes.
Not an easy name to say. Let's just
all right. So when I'm watching Braylon Trice, my first reaction is, what's the first thing I said about Rook a minute ago? I said a lot of upside. Right? And you said, well, you can say that about every draft pick. You can.
I tell you what, man, he's got a lot of upside, but
you can. I think Braylon Trice is a lot closer to his ceiling than Rook Arororo. I think Braylon Trice, maybe he doesn't have the grade, maybe his tangibles, his measurable, whatever it is, maybe they're not as through the roof as you get from Rook, and that's what I'm going to try to call him. But when you look at Braylon Trice, I think you're getting just about everything he's got. I think he has a wide repertoire of hand usage. I think he can dip and rip. I think that he can, he has good hips. I think he gets good press on the tight ends and on the offensive tackles. I think he plays well. I think he sets a nice edge. So when you turn on the film and you're watching the Rams and you're wondering to yourself, man, I wonder how Braylon Trice fits into this defense. I got a name for you. You ready? He was number zero for the LA Rams last year. His name is Byron Young. Byron Young last year, 6'2". He's 250 pounds. Let me ask you this, Bo, before you Google it. If I told you that Braylon Trice is going to be a starter, how many sacks would you tell me you would need from him for this to be a good pick? In hindsight, you'd say, man, he was a good pick. He ended up with this many sacks.
In first year or career?
In first year.
First year,
for a rookie third rounder, how many would you say?
The first year, I'm looking to get anywhere, I think would be that 5 to 10 range.
Perfect.
6 to 10, something like that, yeah.
Perfect. Here's what I got. Byron Young last year, 8 sacks, 32 tackles, 2 forced fumbles. I think it is, not only is it apples to apples to me, I think that they are incredibly close to being the same player. Go watch Byron Young from last year in the Rams defense, and then go watch Braylon Trice's highlight film. I don't even know. I'm not friends with Raheem Morse. I'm not sitting and watching film with Jimmy Lake. I'm not listening to them saying that's the role he's going to play. When I see them, though, that's where Braylon Trice fits. That's what he does. He sets an edge. Great, great hands, which we don't always see out of the college game, but great hands and ability to get separation.
So if you want to know what I thought about Braylon Trice, you can just go to SquidBilly929. I did a video. No. I did a video last night.
Your reaction video, man. You in that Supercross hoodie you had on.
In the Kelly Yarbrough hat. I don't know who.
How many cuts?
Two, second cut.
I was like, man, this ain't the first take.
My buddy, because we had been at dinner, and we went to my buddy's house afterwards, and we were watching the draft. We were having a drink, watching the draft. No big deal, right? And I said, hey, man, can you record this video for me? He goes, yeah.
It was so funny you said it, because I was like, Did he set this camera up somewhere on a shelf, or is somebody recording him?
I said, hey man, can you record? Yeah, so we go up. So the girls are down at the, we call it BB. It's Bar Bristow, because he's got a little bar down there and like TVs, a couple of TVs on the wall. Nice little setup, right? So I said, hey, can you come up and record? Yeah, yeah. So he's got the draft on upstairs too. The draft's on behind me, and I said, all right. He goes, I said, tell me when you're ready. And he gives me the head down. I go, this is hot, blank and blank. Start it over. and I look at him and I go, by the way, ding.
Ding.
I said, you're going to have like probably three of these. And then the second one I rolled, in all seriousness, Braylon Trice, the most pressures the last two seasons in FBS. It's important. It's important to say 18 sacks out of that, but the most pressures. Well, you know what it means to me is as much as everyone loved Latu and did not discredit him for the conference he played in, Braylon Trice was just as effective as getting pressures, which moves the quarterback off his spot, which sometimes puts you into the arms of another defender like a David Onyemata, a Ruka Ro-Ro-Ro, Zach Harrison, Grady Jarrett, maybe Caden Ellis. It's about playing your spot. I love the comparison that you just gave out of Byron Young. You know they were almost drafted in the almost identical spots.
I believe it.
Young was 77th overall last year, third round. Where was Trice?
I believe it.
79th, third round. But he's also being reunited with Jimmy Lake, and he talked about that after he was drafted last night.
Give you everything I got. You're not gonna see me. They should give you everything I got. They should give you everything I got.
That's
they
the remix of Braylon Trice. It's okay. I know how that system works right there. When you get it ready, just tell me in my ear. I want to tell you something real quick about the first three picks Atlanta Falcons have taken. They all have one thing in common.
Did they? What do you got for me? Coaches on the staff?
The word I don't like the word because I think it's just silly, but they're all super seniors. They all were 2019 enrollees. They were either redshirted or they were COVID players, so they got that extra year.
All right.
But that means that they're veteran guys. They've obviously grown. They've learned. They've improved their game. They've shown that they can improve. They're not just raw talent waiting to be sculpted and maybe haven't gotten all of that. They have kind of molded to what they want to be, and the team has picked them based on the things that they can do. Not mean they're not talented, but they all have grown into the players they are. That makes me think they're a little bit closer to walking in off the street, I guess you could say, or from college, and having an impact. Here is what Braylon Trice thinks about being reunited with his old head coach, Falcons DC, Jimmy Lake.
I'm so excited. That was one of the most important coaches in my career. He really, you know, helped put that fire in me and taught me how to flip that switch. I just remember taking notes and him talking about flipping the switch, and that's what really got me locked in mentally. But he's an amazing coach, and I'm so excited to go play for him.
Look, I think it's important that you have a guy like Jimmy Lake here when you pick a player like Braylon Trice, because you know exactly what his limitations are, what his skills are, the type of player he is, type of coaching he takes. Like, I think it just really takes – you know him really well. And you also know how he fits in exactly to what you want to do right off the bat. You don't have to learn the player. You know.
Can I do the sound effect for you? Ding, 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 ding. The pick is in. Atlanta Falcons are on the clock. It looks like
Our guy from Germany that's doing
fan,
the pick?
Got a fan up there.
I think that's the guy from Germany that comes over. He came over. Yeah, it's the guy from Germany. He came over a couple of games.
That's right. Alexandros Schwok.
Back in his jersey says International Fody. I don't know what that means.
All right, for round pick.
Round
four, pick 109. Hold on, we'll give it to you before we get to break. We'll stick around for just a second. Let's see what we got right here.
I'm excited. You think it's Cam Hart?
I think they're going DB?
It could be going Cam Hart.
I think you have to
have
a corner
right
here, right?
That's Cam Hart. They could be going Tez Walker.
I can't
hear
this guy, but
receiver.
I'm just going to tell you right now, he is rowdy.
Yeah, he's talking a lot.
I can tell you he's rowdy. Get the pick in.
He just said he was a Falcons fan for 30 years.
All right. Here we go. Brandon Dorius, defensive tackle out of Oregon.
There's the sound
now,
effect.
Now, Bo.
Yeah?
I'm not good at this, man. I'm not good at this.
What are you not good at?
I'm not good at the draft stuff. What did I tell you on the way in here today?
I don't remember. You said a lot of things.
What did I tell you on the way in here? I said on the phone, you said, what about the Mekhi Wingo kid at LSU?
Yeah, you said, oh, I couldn't believe
I said, there's no way they're taking three defensive linemen in a row, right? I said, well, I didn't think there was any way they were taking Michael Penix. And last year I told you they probably weren't taking Bijan. But here we are. You get another defensive tackle. Two-time first-team All-Pac-12, though, Brandon Dorlus out of Oregon. Look, when we get back, because we got to go to break eventually. We probably hung around too long to talk about that. When we get back on the other side, we'll have continued conversation. We'll talk about Brandon Dorlus and what he brings his team, how he fits, what role he's going to play on that defensive front. We'll also get back to the Penix reaction, everything else going on around the Atlanta Falcons, and how this defense seems to be shaping up through the draft, because it looks like probably got a lot of starters so far.
He's a Broward County kid, I'll tell you that.
That is the NFL Draft Special. We'll be back in just about 5 minutes. You got Mike and Squid Billy here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The NFL Draft Special. Mike Johnson, Squid Billy, two-thirds of the morning shift, hanging out with you in this beautiful Saturday afternoon. Bo is feverishly working his smaller hands over there on the keyboard to try to bring up everything he can for our man Brandon Dorlus, the latest draft pick in the fourth round for the Atlanta Falcons. Two-time All-Pac-12, it looks like, out of Oregon. Jersey number three. I'm sitting here watching highlight videos. You know, you get to a point when you're covering a draft and you're doing what we do where you look at, I don't know, top 100 players, and it becomes a lot more fun to watch the Kamari Lassiter highlights than it does some of the interior defensive linemen because, you know, look, it is what it is. I mean, there's a reason there's more jersey sales for wide receivers than there are right guards in the NFL. And so
you get to this point in the draft
and you feverishly are like, oh, man, I know I've seen this guy and heard of him, but it's not like I can sit here and name off the top of my head what his strengths are. And so you start feverishly looking him up. I think the overarching story, though, and I'll let you get to it, is you've now drafted three defensive linemen in a row on top of taking Penix at eight. So
all Pac-12 players. You haven't taken a player that wasn't from the Pac-12.
Are we still calling him Pac-12?
Right? Am I wrong on that?
No, I mean, are we?
Where'd the other guy? No, I'm sorry. You got an ACC player.
I was going to say, but are we still calling it Pac-12?
Because they played in the Pac-12. They didn't play in the Big Ten.
All right.
You are where you played. You know,
you are what we thought you were.
If Alabama leaves the SEC tomorrow,
don't say that.
You were still an SEC All-American and All-American nationally.
I don't know. Is this such thing as an SEC All-American?
Oh, you're All-Conference.
That's good. An SEC All-American.
You don't change and become a Big 12.
No, you're not.
All-Conference.
I hope
player.
That never happens. I mean, it's sick to even talk about.
Look, Dorlus follows the 6-year senior plan. I mean, he's another guy that was in college, for multiple years, like 6 years. I mean, a lot. He was a COVID kid. He rolled in 19, played a little bit. He plays all over the defensive line, which is starting to be a theme that all these guys can move around everywhere. I think you might see Zach Harrison play a little, maybe move around too. I'm starting to wonder if we're ever going to address the other cornerback spot. As far as I can tell, Akello Witherspoon is still out there. He's a guy that played for the Rams last year, played well. I do not see him under a contract right now. And so I do believe that could be something that's coming for this team. But you're going to have to.
Let's just put it bluntly. This is the time of year, and I dealt with it, when I was playing, a number of times, where you start looking around and looking at who is under contract and who you're drafting and where money can be saved as you move towards the future. Because you do get into that spot and you start wondering when money is due and how much guaranteed money is due in some of these older players' contracts, or maybe not even older players, maybe just guys on their second deals. And you start asking yourself, where can money be saved? And then if they do save money on a player and move on from somebody that is an older guy, where are they going to put that money? And for me, I am baffled that we have not seen a corner headed to Atlanta yet. I'm baffled. It 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 means to me, maybe like you're saying with Akella Witherspoon, that you're going to try to save money elsewhere, and then you go out and try to bring him into the system. Because simply put, what I know about this system, it cannot function without man-to-man corners. The Jalen Ramseys of the world and the other guys they've had inside of that scheme that Raheem Morris has coached up, that Jimmy Lake has coached up, that's what they have to have. Now, I've talked to you a little bit. We talked about Byron Young.
Well, real quick, before you transition, Mike, I don't know where the money's coming from. I don't know who you're going to – because you're not going to redo Caleb McGarry's contract. I mean, that's too young. I don't think you're going to redo Jake Matthews' contract. I think that's too young. So you're going to have to redo someone that basically you would be giving them new guaranteed money, or you would be moving on because that you could split the guaranteed money up with a June 1st release.
Yeah. As a former player, man, this is one of the hardest topics for me, because there was always a saying inside the locker room, you never get in another man's pockets, right? And you never talk about where those zeros line up. But there, when you look across that defensive front and you start talking about Grady Jarrett and the injury and his age, you do start wondering about the money that's due to him. And so I think that'll be a talking point as we move throughout the offseason of kind of how he fits in and whether or not he does fit in the scheme that they want to kind of employ moving forward.
Well, so, I can tell you what you would save.
Hit me with it.
If you released him June 1st, if you release him today without a designation, you're saving 11, but it's going to cost you 9 in dead cap. So you're saving 11.1, you're eating 9.2.
Okay.
If you released him if you said today that we're releasing Grady Jarrett with a June 1st designation. This is hypothetical. This is not real. So if you just tune in, he's not been really. We're just talking about potential moves that have
we're talking
are
about
somewhat
how the
being
Falcons
foreshadowed.
Are going to find money to go get a corner. That's what we're talking about.
And to sign this draft class.
Yeah.
Because you don't have enough.
And we've talked a number of times. Clay is still out there.
Or
right?
for some of you that think that Trey Hendrickson could be coming here wanting $30 million in a trade. But hey, because some guy on the blog said it could happen. Then it can happen. Which look, the cap is not real. You can move money every which way you want, but there are penalties and ramifications for all of that moving. The 2021 and 2022 Falcon seasons were literally that. That's why they were so thin death wise. But anyways, if you released him or traded him, which I think a trade might make the most sense with a June 1st designation, you would save $15.2 million. You would eat 5.1 this year and 4.1 next year. That makes up the 9.2 that you have to eat overall for cutting him. That's how you could break it down if that was something. Oof. Now, that is not something that I am in favor of. I am in favor
me
of
neither.
What I would do is try to find a way to extend and guarantee him money while also freeing money.
Well, I think the important thing to look at, and we've talked about roles inside this defense and where these guys fit. I mentioned it earlier. I think when you talk about Duke Arororo, he fits the kind of Jonah Williams style of defense. Jonah Williams played for the Rams last year. He's number 92, right? And then you talk about Braylon Trice, who's a third-round pick. I think he is about as apples to apples as you can possibly get with a Byron Young. At 6'2", 250, Byron Young had 8 sacks last year for the Rams. When we start getting to our guy Dorless, who we just drafted, I do think you start getting into an area where these are developmental players when you get to the fourth round, for the most part, right? You don't expect these guys to be year one starters for the most part.
That is why I'm so glad you brought that up, because I don't want to come back to Michael Penix and what you did there. But that is why when some people overreacted and then others were like, well, what are you so mad about? There's still five or six other rounds, six, seven rounds of the draft. I don't think you understand what –
what a number 8 pick means, or what a number 108 pick means.
The NBA draft, it's basically the lottery and developmental players, right? The first 14 to 20 picks, basically you're guaranteed in the lottery for the most part, you're going to get a day one starter. And then everything else is just whatever. But in the NFL, to me, day one and two, you get starters. And anything else is...
Completely agree.
Is... You get what you get. Good luck. Develop them. How well is your weight room, your player development, et cetera, and coaching?
Which is where you got an F- last year in your NFLPA report card.
Yep. what is the want-to of the player? And when I mean want-to, what is the want-to of a player to come in and realize that he's not big man on campus anymore? He is, what was that? You ain't Julio Jones.
Hey,
you,
man.
You play special teams.
Hey, man, what position you play? Oh, I play wide receiver. No, you don't. You play L2. You play gunner on the punt team, and you the PP. You don't play wide receiver. Julio Jones play wide receiver. Roddy White plays wide receiver. You don't play wide receiver.
If you don't know, that is Mike got to spend a lot of time with Keith Armstrong. When he was here as a player, I got to spend time with him from the media coach relationship.
Yeah.
And that is one of the most, that to me is my favorite Hard Knocks moment of all time. Not only here, was it a Falcons it moment,
you.
But it was Keith.
He don't want it, coach. That's a Hard Knocks quote.
That's
99% of NFL football fans have heard that quote, and that's Keith Armstrong.
Yeah.
And I love it, man.
It's so good. But yeah, that is why some of us made such a big deal about taking a draft. I did a Bet MGM. It might have been Tom Abraham's show over in
the Tri-City area, yeah. Huntsville, Chattanooga. Okay.
And we were talking about it, and he goes, well, what? You know, kind of get my opinion. I said, look, I love Michael Penix, the player, man. I mean, the kid. You look at what he's gone through.
I think almost everybody does.
I don't think there's any way not to. You're not a good human being if you don't like Michael Penix, right? As a person. The pick is different. And I said, this reminds me of back in and Slaughter, remind me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they really do it as much as they used to. But back in the day, like mid-2000s, the NBA had this thing where they would draft a European prospect that they thought could be really good in 3 years, and they would draft his rights.
Right.
And the European, and he would keep playing for the European team he was playing for. They called him the draft and stash player.
Stash and dash.
Yeah.
Stash and dash.
They don't really do that much like they used
to.
Because these guys weren't developed now. I mean, they're playing with more NBA type players.
Well, remember, they started playing pro ball at 16.
Exactly.
Over there. You know, exactly. So by 19, they've already played 3 years of pro ball and their bodies have developed. So, yeah, no more draft and stash.
Yeah. Plus, I think the players have the game in the NBA has changed to. A game that does fit the European player type a little bit more with all the rules they put in. But anyways, that's what the Penix draft pick reminds me of because we won't if we're lucky. The most unfortunate part about this is the best case scenario is we don't see him for 3 years.
For sure.
I think you'll see him after year two. I think year three he'll be the starter. But the best case is that you don't because it means – you spent the wisest $110 million fully guaranteed with what I guess it would be like $135 at that point with the third year of ever. Like, because you got everything out of Kirk Cousins.
I actually have another best case scenario for you for this franchise when it comes to quarterbacks. All right. I actually have another one. But we're going to get a break first. All right. So
I think we got time.
All right.
But we can talk about
three more minutes.
Yeah, y'all messed me up on the show sheet.
Today. I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you something. Weekends is I've done weekends. They're for the long-winded. They're for the long-winded. On this station, they're for the long-winded.
I have another scenario, and I'll go ahead and get to it now. Then I have another scenario for the Atlanta Falcons. What if this were to happen? And we've seen. I think the Patriots have done this a few times. The problem is this: there was never a top 10 pick. But we've seen this happen before. Backup quarterback has to play. All right, let's just say Kirk rolls an ankle at some point in the next 2 years. Michael Penix comes in, has to play six games and goes 5-1. Do you think in the 26th offseason that they're looking at offers for him? If Kirk is balling out and Kirk is to a point where when he is playing that he's playing at an MVP level and you're going to the playoffs and you're making deep playoff runs, are you taking a call on Penix in 2026?
Yeah, I talked about
this. The Matt Cassel, Jimmy Garoppolo.
I talked about this with somebody. It reminds me of Aaron Rodgers. It reminds me of the Aaron Rodgers thing for this reason. Because you know he's only got a couple years left. You are not going to make that deal if you're another team unless you're a quarterback away.
Yeah.
And I think that you could very well could do that. Now, I don't think – the thing for me is – would Kirk Cousins say, no, I'm not doing it. I'm done.
Right.
Because his family is extremely important to him. We all know that. His wife dresses him. And I will tell you, well, that doesn't mean it's a joke. I mean, he can't go somewhere if his wife can't dress him. But I would tell you that, but to the point is I think this is Kirk's forever home.
I agree. He's going to set up shop. Man's probably already bought a plot of land up on Lake Lanier. You know what I mean? He's probably already bought that plot of land up there. He's going to settle in. He's going to build a home. He's probably already talking to Jake Matthews, man. He's probably like, hey, where are you at, man? Where are you at? Let me get right next to you. And I'm glad, man. I'm glad he's settled in. I hope Michael Penix does the same thing. I hope both these guys are in the A. We'll talk about Michael Penix a little bit more. Coming up on the other side, I want to get this conversation. Kirk Cousins calls Michael Penix. What do you think that sounded like? You're going to hear from the Squidbilly and Mike Johnson version coming up on the other side.
Who do I get to play?
Which one do you want?
I don't know. Let's think about that.
Hey, it's the NFL Draft version, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Be back in just a minute.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.